to the North Canton Heritage Society official podcast, The A Place in Time. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to talk about street names.
We've got some interesting ones here. Mm-hmm. We're lucky in that North Canton has a bunch of streets named after early settlers, so we can really dive into the history of the town and discuss this. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that a lot of people didn't really note why a street is called what it is. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about today is just assumptions. For example, if someone with a certain last name lived in a certain area, then we're assuming that the street was named after them. Unlike when streets get renamed in modern times, press releases go out and there's all kinds of records. This wasn't a factor back then, so we're just kind of guessing here.
I mean, logic seems to motivate the reasoning here.
Exactly. So, okay. If it makes sense, then we're going with it.
Okay. Well, before we jump into that, let's talk about this month's exhibit. This is going to run till the end of March, right?
Right. It's on local business advertising. So basically, the swag that people used to give out to advertise their companies. Well, let's phrase it that way. So we have pens and pencils, mugs, yardsticks, all kinds of really cool things.
What's the oldest thing we have, do you think?
We have a little metal tray from New Berlin, and we also have, it's a little shoehorn.
Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And both those say New Berlin on them, so we're going to go with those are the oldest things here.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Great. All right, well, let's dive right into today's topic, then.
All right, let's start off with the street that we're located on, Ream Street. Ever wonder why it's called Ream?
Yes.
R-E-A-M?
All right.
Well, I traced this back and to a man named Urias Ream, who lived on Ream Street in North Canton. And according to the map I have here, we can see where his little house is, his little plot of land was, right at the end here, where Charlotte is now. So it's basically that little corner there.
Okay.
And according to my research, Urias Ream, he died in January of 1931. He owned a hardware store on the square, and he wrote articles for the North Canton Sun after he retired.
Oh,
and
wow.
I found a lot of stuff on like just basic history of North Canton, New Berlin, his memories and things. And according to his obituary, he lived on Ream Street, so we're making an assumption there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Where is it, like, in modern day? Like, I'm trying to picture, like, what's a landmark that would be.
According to this 1905 map, he owned the plot of land that went from, it was called Market back then, it's Maine now.
Oh, okay.
That little corner there where Charlotte and Ream meet today.
Oh, okay.
So if you can imagine Ream Street going up to the north here, he kind of owned that little section of land right there at the intersection.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
And he also had a couple children. One was named Edward, the other one was named Charlotte, and then they later adopted another daughter named Charlotte. So it's possible this is where Charlotte Street comes from. Like I said, all we can do is kind of infer things.
Yeah.
We have Bochtel. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. According to what I've been able to find, there were two sets of names that are really similar. We've got Bechtel with an E, and then Bochtel with an A. And Samuel Bechtel, according to the A Place in Time book, it's actually listed as both names in there. So I'm thinking they might have switched some letters here and there when they wanted to. He's the one who recorded the plat for New Berlin in 1831. He came out with came up with 23 different lots, and they're all in the area, basically where we're at right now. The streets were Portage, Chestnut Alley, Apple Alley, which is what Ream is originally listed as, Cherry, Blackberry, and then Market. So it's this little area right here. I wish I'll have to scan this so you guys can see the map that we're talking about
as we're looking at it. Yeah, we'll have like a visual companion.
Yeah.
Apple Alley, Cherry Alley, and Blackberry Alley.
Yeah.
And Chestnut Alley.
Yeah.
Do you think that he just found all of those different fruits and nuts right there?
It's possible.
That's interesting. He found one blackberry and was like, blackberry.
Look, there's an apple tree. I shall name this Apple Alley. Of course, it's not called that today. We do have an apple grove, but that's in the northern side of town, and we won't get to that. We'll save that one for the next one, because we have a lot of interesting things here.
Yeah, we do want to note, like, this is not going to be a one-and-done thing. We're going to probably continue this you know, every couple episodes just doing, you know, touch on some different streets.
Yeah. We're lucky there's a lot of early settlers who left their names behind as far as street names are concerned, so it gives us a lot to work with.
Yep.
And who's next on our list?
Well, I mean, there's Portage.
Let's go to Portage. Let's jump ahead here.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't know if anyone is familiar with the term portage, but it refers to the act of moving your boat or canoe physically from one lake to another. So that's why if you look on a map of Summit County, you'll see the Portage Lakes. Because in order for the Native Americans to move north and head that way, they had to physically walk their canoes from one lake to another to keep their travel, keep on traveling. And while I don't think there's any lakes in this area...
Yeah, I mean, there's...
It's possible.
The cable.
Yeah, so, I mean, Portage, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It was a common street name.
Cool. So, how about the Willimans? Now, just as a North Canton native, like, Williman and Buchtel both feel like founding father names for North Canton.
They are, yeah.
Okay.
They're very important.
So, I gotta assume that, like, Williman is named after Mr. Williman.
Williman actually owned a plot of land, two plots of land, actually, right by Urias Ream.
Oh, okay.
So he's right in that same area. Yep. Again, we're going to scan this map and put it online so everyone can see it.
How much, like, time difference was there between them? Or was it all, like, kind of the same time?
Well, Willimans were here first. I mean, the one on the map I'm looking at is Samuel Williman. Mm. So in order to really talk about the Williman family, we have to first go back to 1806. Which is long before this map was drawn up. I mean, we have to start with Peter Williman and Bezalel Wells, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. You're familiar with Bezalel Wells, right?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like.
He founded Canton.
Really?
Yeah, he bought the land. He surveyed the land. He did the plat. He's Canton.
I live in North Canton, which is
right around the
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, in 1805, that's when Bezalel Wells stepped in and took over and created Canton. Got the land from the government and turned it into what it is now.
Wow.
Well, what it became, we should say.
Yeah.
And 1 year after that, Peter Williman purchased a large tract of land here in what is now North Canton. Only instead of doing what Bezalel Wells did, where he divided up the land, Williman decided he wanted to keep his whole tract as it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we can also connect that to Jonas Williman, who in 1838, he started a worship service at his house. It eventually became the Union Church, and now it's the Community Christian Church.
So Williman, like, that's a big deal in this town.
Yeah.
Like, he purchased this big tract of land, and then he just sold it, like, parts of it to his neighbors.
It looks like parts of it were carved off. I don't have an exact map showing where he was. But, I mean, we have Samuel Williman on this early map here. That's not quite Peter Williman early, but it's early enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how there's two plots of land here right in the area of where Williman is today.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So that brings us to Moeller, unless you want to do Bitzer.
You know what? Let's go ahead and do Bitzer I mean, I know Bitzer is a big name in North Canton
as
well.
Yeah. We have Bitzer Park.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bitzer Street Southeast. Basically, the Bitzers, Michael Bitzer, owned Bitzer Hotel.
Where was Bitzer Hotel located?
I'm assuming it's in the area of Bitzer Park.
Maybe.
Although I haven't been able to find an exact map yet.
Interesting.
That shows this information.
Hmm.
But we can connect Bitzer to McKinley.
How's that?
Tell me more. Back in 1867, William McKinley gave what would become his first political speech in front of the Bitzer Hotel.
No kidding.
Yep. At the time, he was just a lawyer and working in Canton. And Michael Bitzer, who served in the 162nd Regiment Ohio Volunteer Infantry during the Civil War, he talked McKinley into giving the speech. It was in support of an amendment to give African-American men, no, men, not women, the right to vote. Because women didn't get the right to vote until much later.
Yeah.
The amendment failed, but, I mean, this was McKinley's real first entry into politics.
That's crazy.
Even though he didn't run for an office until later.
Wow.
Yeah. even though the amendment failed, we have Bitzer Street, Bitzer Park, and there's a McKinley Avenue that runs right into Bitzer Street. So
there you go.
McKinley Avenue was actually the street that Hoover used to develop houses for his workers. And actually, the houses are still there, I believe. All right, let's talk about one more street before we end this. Moeller.
Moeller.
Moeller Drive Northwest. We can trace that back to Henry Moeller, 1780 to 1853. And he had two children, Jacob and Henry. According to what I found, Jacob arrived in New Berlin back in 1836. He served as the postmaster of New Berlin and a notary public. And he's also noted for bringing the first daguerreotype portrait to New Berlin.
The first what?
A photograph.
No way.
Yeah. From what I was able to find, according to the story I found, he was in New York City, and they were talking about all these newfangled technology of photographs, daguerreotypes, so he brought one back here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was also a Freemason, which is interesting in and of itself. Ooh, there. And although I don't have the exact family tree here, you're probably familiar with the name Moeller, because mm-hmm. we've got the True Value Home Center.
Yeah.
And we even have a yardstick from the Moeller Lumber Company here in our exhibit that people can come in and see.
So, again, I mean, this is just kind of an assumption, but there might be a kind of a strong connection there.
Yeah.
It would kind of make sense.
I mean, it's a small town. Same last name.
Yeah.
We'd have to go through and do the exact tracing, but, I mean, everything can be connected.
If there's anyone that has more information on that, let us know, because that'd be pretty cool to kind of go more in-depth.
Yeah. It's always more fun.
So, and that's actually a good place to plug our website and social media.
Yep. You can reach us on the internet at northcantonheritage.org.
The internet.
Yes, the internet. We're also on Facebook. Just look us up as North Canton Heritage. We're about 75 people away from hitting 1,000 followers on Facebook.
Sweet.
That's amazing.
Share.
So follow
share
us.
Share, Facebook friends.
Yes. And you can also reach me through ncantonheritage@gmail.com. And in fact, if anyone is interested in being a guest speaker on our podcast, we're looking for anyone who has an interesting story to tell about North Canton.
You know, we're looking for any sort of story, you know, about the history of North Canton, what your personal experience might be, you know, any connections you might have to any of the people we talked about today or anyone else that was here, you know, early on. If you're a descendant of Peter Williman, give us a call, or Mr. Ream, or
Dr. Steele, or one of the Spawn Sellers, or
yeah.
a Hull. I mean, we have so many interesting last names that we haven't even touched on because we have limited time.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can come in and join us. And
yeah, I mean, just shoot us an email. We'll set up a time to do the recording, and you know, it is nice as we can come to you if need be.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to come here. Is that email again?
It is ncantonheritage@gmail.com.
Okay. So anything else we got coming up here?
We have a lot of things coming up. We have our first board game night in March. You can buy tickets online through Eventbrite. You can find more information on that on our Facebook and our website. We also have our church exhibit coming up that opens April 6th.
What churches are we focusing on?
Both of the Zion churches. So okay. We've got Zion UCC, Zion Lutheran, St. Paul's Catholic Church, and the Community Christian Church.
Great. Awesome.
And we're seeking stories from any of the parishioners there, so yeah. You can contact us about that, too.
Yeah. Again, anything historical that would be really interesting and you'd want to share with the community.
Yeah. I mean, that's the number one thing. People think this is the number one issue that I have. Excuse, I'm going to rant here for a minute. This is the number
one. I may or may not edit this rant, but just
okay.
Go on.
This is the number one thing that bothers me about local public history is that people don't think that their stories matter. And they do. You grew up in North Canton. You remember some of the businesses we have on exhibit here. You remember, you know, you grew up, you went to Dr. Steele, you went to Dr. Warburton. You have a story.
You had dinner at Maxie's Drive-In.
Exactly. You have a story. Your story matters, no matter how simple it was. Yeah, you lived here your whole life. I want to hear it. Come tell me. We'll record it.
Yeah. And it might not be, you know, it might not be something we use immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we get a long line of people, it might be something we we'll break down and use when it becomes topical, but, you know, we want to hear that. We want to capture that in oral history.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the big reason why...
That's why we're here.
Yeah, especially, you know, for me, what it takes me back to is talking to my grandpa and getting all of this great information about North Canton and what it was like back when he worked at the Hoover Company and he hired all these people and... You know, and I wish I had captured some of that information before he passed away.
Yeah. I mean, people tend to focus on the big, giant events and the people who went on to do, like, and become president, like McKinley. But yeah. Everyone has a story.
Yeah.
Everyone's history matters.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big part of why we're doing this podcast, why we launched it. And that's really, I'd say, the mission of this podcast is to capture that history. Stuff like the mapping and the streets and the plotting, like, that's really awesome too, but we also want to be able to embrace the stories. What was it like to grow up on Charlotte Street?
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 98 or
50
or 18.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean, let's just, history is history.
Yep.
It just has to be older than, like, I don't know, a year old.
Yeah.
You know, let's not talk about, you know. We don't have to talk about current events, but, you know, I mean, let's talk about, you know, do you live in an older house on Charlotte Street? Do you live on, you know, a plot of land on Woodside that has a lot of, you know.
What's your first memory of the community Christmas tree lighting?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter what year it was.
Yeah.
Just what do you remember?
Exactly. All right, well, we've ranted enough for today.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up.
Come on in and visit. We're open from noon to 4, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and we don't charge for admission, so you can come in and check out our exhibits.
And the first Saturday of every month.
Yep, the first Saturday of every month.
Yep.
Except this past month, because, no,
cold. Yeah, cool. Let's not remember that.
Yeah, I'll take care of that part of it.
All right, thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye.
They believe in baptizing a person 3 different times in order to be a part of the church.
Like, just one right after another? Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
For the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where the name comes from, because they fully dunk you under the water, apparently.
You know, I was baptized, like, when I was 18, I think, and it was 3 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a dunkard and you don't even know it.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure you would know.
Mind blown.